All right. This week's lesson on Lazarus and the rich man, it is about money, but it's also about caring for the poor, the vulnerable, those in need. And by doing so, we receive God's blessings eternally in heaven. It is a story about how we are to care for people who are less fortunate than we are. It is a call to examine our lives, to make changes if necessary, and to reach out and help others in need. I got the word change written here. Anybody like to change? Nobody likes to change. Oh, there's a couple of hands. Okay, good. Thank you, Ruth. There is a preacher, was a preacher, not me, who was called to a new church. On his first Sunday, he preached a sermon urging the people to repent and to change their ways. On his second Sunday there, he preached the same sermon. The people began to wonder a little bit. They thought that was strange, but they decided to wait and see what would happen. On the third Sunday he was there, guess what happened? He preached the same sermon. So the council got together, they demanded an explanation from him, and this is what the preacher said. I figure on preaching that sermon until you all have repented and changed. Oh, that wasn't that funny? Okay, sorry. The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was very wealthy. He wore clothes dyed in purple, clothes that were meant for royalty and kings. He lived in a mansion with a fence and a gate around it to keep the unwanted out. He feasted every day with more food than you and I could imagine. Kind of reminds me of the good old days with Old Country Buffet, right? You could eat and eat and eat until you exploded. The rich man ate like this every day. Lazarus was the opposite. He was a beggar. He was sick. His body was covered with sores. He was so hungry that he longed for a scrap of food from the rich man's table. No surprise here, Lazarus died. No food, no shelter, no medical care. Of course he died. The rich man died also. And that might be a little bit surprising because of his wealth, his possessions, and his abundance. We all die someday. In this parable, Lazarus entered heaven where Father Abraham welcomed him, took care of him, lavished upon him. The rich man went the other direction to hell, where he was miserable and tormented. The rich man could look up and see both Abraham and Lazarus in heaven. He pleaded with Abraham to send Lazarus with just a drop of water. Kind of interesting, the rich man did not speak to Lazarus on earth. Why should he change now that his earthly life was over? He spoke to Abraham. But Abraham said it could not be done. There is this huge chasm between us. The rich man was stuck in hell while Lazarus was up in heaven, and neither could cross that chasm. The rich man was condemned to his misery. I was reading a commentary about this rich man in hell. The commentator thought that the rich man went through the five stages of grief in his situation in hell: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. The rich man could not believe that this had happened to him. Denial. He was hot under the collar. That's literally hot under the collar. Got that? Okay. That's the anger part. He pleaded for help with Abraham, bargaining. He was in agony, depression, and then he realized that nothing could ever change his situation, acceptance. No one could help him. The rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus to give a warning to his brothers. Abraham told him that his brothers have both the scriptures and the prophets, both of which give warning to help people, to help the poor, the needy, or else. And if the brothers will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not listen to Lazarus, even if Lazarus was raised from the dead. A couple of points to make. The rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he ignored Lazarus at his doorstep. As Lutheran Christians, we teach and we believe that we are not saved by our good works. Jesus Christ has saved us through his death and resurrection. But there is a strong message from God here that we are to take care of our neighbors in need. The rich man went to hell because he ate enough for more than two people while Lazarus starved at his feet. The rich man went to hell for not caring, for not loving, for not lifting a finger to help a person in need. There's a Martin Luther quote that goes something like this: God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbors do. Last part of the sermon, guess what? It's for the four of you, but all of you can listen, because I think this is a good thing for us today. I am fascinated at the end of this story about Jesus saying about the prophets and scripture. Throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, God raised up prophets to speak God's word to all the people. Often it was that word of warning, a word of judgment: change your way or else. And through these words, pointing that finger, Moses and the prophets warned the people to be generous, to be compassionate, kind, helpful, and loving, especially to people in need. Throughout all of history, there has always been the danger of false prophets, people who claim to speak a word from God, but who do not. Sometimes it is very difficult to know who to believe and who not to believe. God's prophet versus false prophets. There is a young person who has made the news this past week. Her name is Greta Thunberg, a 16-year-old Swedish environmentalist who recently spoke at the United Nations Climate Action Summit. Her words challenged the world leaders to not only think about doing something, but to begin doing something about climate change. She has advocated for school strikes for climate, encouraging peers around the world to work for stronger climate action. There are some that think Greta Thunberg is a powerful prophet speaking on behalf of the earth. And there are some who think Greta Thunberg is a false prophet seeking to disrupt the world and to draw attention to herself. I am not here to say yes or no to Greta and her cause, but I do want to lift her up to the four of you and to all of us here today. Greta Thunberg is full of courage, passion, and determination for a cause that is very important to her. I encourage the four of you and all of us to think about what passion is so important to you that you can also be full of courage, determination, and passion. find out what that passion is, whether it's sports or music or helping or education. Find that cause. Be filled with passion. Be filled with courage and hope. Be brave to share your message with those around you and around the world. Realize that not everyone will listen to you, but be brave, be strong, test your thoughts, your feelings, your words, your actions. But how do you test your words, thoughts, and actions? Is what you say, think, and do pleasing to God? Is it helpful to people, especially to people in need? Jesus said it this way, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Aaron's way ahead of me here. I close with two questions for us to think about, to take home. Who is the Lazarus sitting at your doorstep? Who is the Lazarus that you see? And two, what will you do to help? How will you help the Lazarus around you in your life? Amen.